Welcome to Hope Is Here. Do you struggle with prayer? Well, that's what we're talking about with Bill Reeser. He is the founder of Encounter here in Lexington, Kentucky. Encounter is mission is to help broken and hurting people overcome life's adversity so they can discover a free life devoted to Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking more about that later today in this program. But yesterday we started talking about prayer and just about what prayer is, and I think you'd be really encouraged by that. If you missed yesterday's program, go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and you can hear that 14-minute program with Bill Reeser. But Bill, when you teach on this at Encounter, you've been doing that on Monday nights at Church of the Savior, you list this verse that I think is so great, because when life's not going well, I don't feel like praying, but I'm thankful the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Man, sometimes that's not easy, though, is it?
It's really hard. The reality is that we don't have a lot of reasons to be joyful, but joy is a choice. And there's a difference between being happy and having joy. If you have Christ, you have joy. And so it's like when I go to a vending machine and I see, you know, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, water, joy, I have a choice. I can hit joy. And I'm predetermined each and every day that I'm not going to let anything rob me of the joy that I have, because joy is contagious. And joy, when you have joy on you, it can be the best sermon you'll ever preach to someone else, especially when you're going through a tough time. You can be sick. You can have cancer. You can go through the deepest trials. You can go through the fire, the biggest storms of life, and you can still have joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy keeps us focused on what's important. And joy is an inner byproduct of the blessing, peace, power, and love of God that lives inside of us. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have joy as a byproduct. And so the scripture tells us, Paul is ending up a really great teaching in Thessalonians, and he says, be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. In other words, now someone looks at that, they look at it literally, they're thinking, I might be able to get a 2-minute prayer in. But what does pray without ceasing mean? Well, I don't think it means you pray for 5 straight hours, but you could pray during the day. For me, pray without ceasing is acknowledging the presence and God in my life, no matter what I'm doing. I could hear a song on the radio and I could say, that's a really good song. Lord, thank you for the truth in that song. I could be thinking about a tough meeting that I'm going to have with someone. And I could say, Lord, would you just bless me before this meeting? Would you just help me be Christ-like? Would you help me to see people through your eyes, love them with your heart? And just remind me, just like you're doing right now as I'm praying to you, that I'll never lock eyes with someone else that you haven't died for. So help me love like you. Help me see, help me just minister and be the best representative, so that when people see me, they don't see me, they see you. Help me love like Jesus, bless people like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, and just help me today. Help me just do what you want me to do. And it's also blessing him. It's just talking to him. Sometimes I'm in the middle of a grocery. I'm in Kroger, and I'm just talking to myself. Half the people think I'm crazy. I'm out of my mind, but I'm just blessing God. I'm talking to God. Maybe it's a 5-second prayer. It's a thank you, Jesus, because something good just happened in my life, or I remembered something good that happened in my life. It's just acknowledging God and having that relationship with him all the time. The third part of that is give thanks. Now, this is the hardest one, is give thanks in all circumstances. Gosh, that's a hard one, because not everything that happens to us, we have reason to be thankful for. I mean, we live in a broken world. People are going to do dumb things. People are going to lash out against us, and they're going to come against us. And sometimes people do bad things to us because of because of bad decisions we make. Sometimes people do bad things to us because of the good decisions we make, because now we're Christ followers. And that's called persecution. And there's a lot of that that goes on.
And I think people, that happens a lot. People say, well, you know, I'm trying to follow Jesus, but man, seems like my life's gotten harder. And so, that's that battle, isn't it? Between evil and good.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And and we were born into a broken world. And when we accept Christ, we enlisted into a war. And most Christians forget that we signed up to be in a war. It's called spiritual warfare. And there's opposition out there. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil rulers of this dark world. Now, here's the good news about that. I can get into a whole thing, and we do a big teaching on this at Encounter. We teach about warfare. We teach people how to pray warfare prayers. We teach people how to put on God's armor, how to take their thoughts captive. All these things are done in the atmosphere of spiritual warfare, and a believer has to know how to fight. From the standpoint of warfare, they need to know what all the warfare prayers that they need to pray are. They need to know how to take their thoughts captive, because behind every self-defeating thing that we'll ever do is a lie that we believe. So there must be a truth for us to receive, because we don't realize that pretensions and things that sets itself up against the knowledge of God are getting thrown at us every day. I can prove it to you. Go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and the devil shows up with three lies. And the three lies are this: did God really say? The second lie is, it won't kill you. And the third lie is, you can be just like God. And we've been falling for those three lies ever since. And he's been using those lies ever since. So, getting back to the reason why we pray is that we're in a war. The good news is we don't ever have to be afraid of anyone, any principality, anything that goes on as far as a warfare standpoint, anything that goes on with the enemy, because God has given us power and dominion and authority and victory. And he wants us to not fight for victory. He wants us to fight from a place of victory, trusting in the finished work of Christ, of what he's done for us. But we have to do that in an atmosphere of prayer. We do that by taking authority in prayer. Look at Revelation. The book of Revelation talks about in Revelation 12 that the enemy has been hurled down to wreak havoc on us. And it says, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, a loud voice from heaven came and shouted, now has come salvation, kingdom, power, and authority. And when we get those four things established in our lives, it tells us that we overcome the accuser of the brethren, the enemy of our soul, by these three things: the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the fact that we lived our lives not unto the death. So those are three weapons that we have in prayer. Notice that it says not just the blood of the Lamb, which is what Jesus did for us, and we claim that out loud with our mouths, but the word of our testimony. See, most people don't think that we have to pray out loud, and they're fighting warfare prayers by praying internal prayers, never speaking them out loud. And the enemy's is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can't hear our prayer. He can put thoughts in our head, but he can't hear our prayers unless we speak them out loud. And when we speak them out loud in authority and take back ground that's rightfully ours, and walk in that authority, being a spirit-minded, spirit-guided kingdom person operating under kingdom authority, then we can take back ground and win all those spiritual battles that get presented at the doorpost of our minds.
Well, you just hit on something, I think, so huge. It jumped in my spirit. You know, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And I know there's somebody listening. They just feel defeated. And yet, I want to remind you, if you're a follower of Jesus, what Bill just said, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. But that's where the prayer and knowing God's word, if you're going to fight from victory, our sword is the Bible and God's word. Talk a little bit about that, Bill.
Yeah, God's word is our sword, and we're to walk around with it every day. I never leave any. They can't see this, but I'm holding my sword up right now. I take this book with me wherever I go, If I'm in a Starbucks, if I'm traveling, it's in my bag wherever I go. And Scripture has so much to say. And God wants to speak to us through His Word. And God wants to pray His Word. And just take that scripture that we just talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, the very next verse says, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you in your life. Now, I'm not that smart, but I know this, that if I read something in scripture that says this is God's will for me, it's a pretty good idea to do it. And so, and one of the ways that God enhances our relationship with us is that He wants to speak to us, wants to talk to us. Now, I speak to a lot of people, say, I've never heard the voice of God. I said, have you ever read the Word of God? Because if you read the Word of God, that's God speaking to you. And so the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It's not just a book consisting of 66 different books. It's God Himself, the inspired Word of God, that wants to speak to us from Genesis to Revelation, because that's how He wants to communicate with us. Now, God can speak audibly. He can speak through other people. He can speak through circumstances. There's a variety of ways that God can speak to us, but He wants to speak to us mainly through His Word.
Amen and amen. And you talk about in one of your lessons at Encounter, you said, you know, during His ministry on earth, Jesus spent time praying to His Father. So I think if Jesus did that, maybe we need to pray too, right?
Well, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus depended on four things to fulfill His ministry. I mean, He depended on His relationship with His Father. And it was a deep, abiding relationship. He had to spend time with His Father. He needed to spend time with His Father. Jesus also needed the Holy Spirit. Jesus also needed the Word of God. But what was the engine that held it all together? How did he do all those things? Through prayer. How did He speak to His Father? Through prayer. How did He get the Holy Spirit to do things for Him that He needed to do? Because remember, He came in the form of a man. Okay, through prayer. And so, Jesus obviously set the example of prayer. He taught us how to pray, and He continually teaches us how to pray. He's our model. There's no better prayer teacher. There's no better example of praying and looking at God's Word than looking at Jesus Christ.
Well, and then of course in Scripture it says that, you know, it talks about one time there in one of the Gospels that early in the morning Jesus went to pray.
And He made it a priority. And so he early in the morning he went to pray, and there were times where he needed to get away to pray. He would do ministries. I've got to go be with my Father. And so it just sets an example for us. Just imagine if we were like that. Set that time, set that appointment every day to spend time with God. And even knowing that when times get tough, I got to go spend some time with my Father.
Well, and I know this is one of the biggest things for me in changing, and we got to wrap it up here today. But, you know, when I started maturing in my faith was instead of checking ESPN's page first when I get up in the morning, you know, their website or now Twitter, I spend that time with God, my first cup of coffee, then do that. So I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to continue our conversation with Bill Reeser on prayer. We're going to give you some tips on maybe how to help you grow in praying and just continue this great conversation with Bill Reeser. He has this wonderful ministry called Encounter that he does here in Lexington. It's where hope can be found. And so we're going to be talking about that, let you know about how you can be a part of that if you want to grow in your faith and if you need some hope. So join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Bill Reeser on
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.